Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Joe McGee. Welcome back to Common Sense Wednesday, where we take a little time. We just talk about the common sense things of everyday life, things we should have learned before we left home, but maybe we didn't, but we get to learn them now. So we're going to pick up one today. This is a really good subject. There's a lot of ways of covering it. But everybody in life, especially if you're a parent, you're always concerned about your children's friends because there's a law in life. You become like who you hang around. An old saying, if you tell me who your friends are, I'll tell you what you're going to be like 5 years from now, because we become like who we hang around. We listen to them. We hang out with them. We do what they do. Think like they think. Say what they say. So that's why there's so many scriptures in the Bible about friendship. Matter of fact, there's more scriptures in your Bible about friendship than there are on the subject of heaven and hell. And heaven and hell are very important subjects, but God chose to say more about friendships because friends can take you to heaven or friends can take you to hell. Now, that's a loose way of just giving that name because the Bible says a friend is somebody that'll die for you, not somebody that'll get you in trouble. So let's look at a couple of scriptures here that kind of explain this. I worked with teenagers for years, and I saw their biggest challenges was their relationships in life. And I tell them, don't empty your brain on a table. Don't tell somebody everything you know, because they're going to tell 100 other people. I said, no, they're my friend. They'll keep a secret. I said, nobody can keep a secret. Nobody can keep a secret. That tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. It hits that brain that's coming out that mouth before it gets home. Now, I've had people sit in my office and cry, I thought you were my friend. I am. No, you promised you wouldn't tell. Well, I just told one person. They just told 3 people. They told 40 people. They told 500 people. And it goes like a gasoline lake, you know, striking a match, a gasoline lake. So there's things to learn about relationships, especially about friendships. John 15:13 says this, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. So how do you explain it? Well, that's what Jesus did. God sent his son to earth to give his life for mankind with no guarantee that man would love him back. This is not a two-way street. It's a one-way street. Luke 2:52. And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with all the people. Would he grow in favor with the people? You're kidding. No. Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If you want to have friends, you got to sow some seed. You got to be friendly to other people. What if they're not friendly back? Well, that's their problem. Then go find somebody else and be friendly to them. Matthew 7:12, here's the classic, Matthew 7:12, the golden rule that we learned in public school years ago. Do unto others whatever you'd have them do unto you. And that's the essence of all that is taught in the law of the prophets. What is? Do to others what you want them to do to you. Sow some seed. You know, a real friend, our book called God Knows, it's got great stories in it. But there's one that I got from David Wilkerson, who wrote a great book called The Cross and Switchblade. And so started the Teen Challenge program, you know, that did phenomenal and is still around today. And they made a movie about it, you know, Cross the Switchblade, years ago. But here's one of the things he would ask those teenagers in that Teen Challenge program in those early years. He would ask, how'd you end up in this mess? Teenagers did drugs, prostitution, theft, robbery, you know, just all sorts of malicious stuff. And he would ask them, how did you end up in this mess? How did you get involved with things like drugs and vandalism, pornography and prostitution? He said, without exception, everybody gave the same answer. We began to hang out when it all happened when we began to hang out with the wrong crowd. And when he asked them how they got their first snort of dope, they answered, a friend gave it to me. When did you first start stealing? A friend took me along. Now, let me tell you something. mom and dad. No matter how many times your kids go through the doors of a church or how many times you make them memorize scripture, they will become like those they hang out with. So we won't have very many real friends. Neither will our kids. We'll have lots of acquaintances, but very few real friends. We've learned, you know, as iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. A friend is somebody who'll die for you. So a great book I read when I was teaching students in high school years ago, called In the Value of Christian Training. It was out of a book called Growing Up God's Way, written in 1984. Guy had a great story that was fascinating about the value of friendships and relationships. So here's the story in the book. In 1874, the state of New York had a terrible problem. Its prisons were overcrowded. New facilities could not be built fast enough. The state officials didn't know what to do, so a man named R.A. Dugdale was hired to do some research. He came back with a fascinating report. Now, I have no idea about Dugdale's spiritual condition. There's nothing in the history books that gives us any indication about that. I believe he was born again, but I have no way of knowing. Dugdale did a study of two families and their descendants over some six generations as to how different lifestyles affected their children. The first half of the report was about a family named Jukes, J-U-K-E-S. Both Max Jukes and his brother married sisters. According to the report, neither of them believed in Christian training. Now, I don't know exactly what that meant, but that's what Dugdale wrote. They had 1,026 descendants between the two of them. Because of their lifestyles, 300 of them died young. Many suffered poor health. Among the descendants, 140 served an average of 13 years in prison. 190 were confirmed public prostitutes. 100 were confirmed alcoholics. And over a 100-year period, this family cost the state of New York $1.2 million. And this is 1874 dollars. The second half of the report compared the Jukes family with another man named Edwards, Jonathan Edwards, who you might remember in the history books was a Christian minister who married a girl of like belief, Dugdale said. Edwards and his wife had 729 descendants. Of those, 300 were preachers, 65 were college professors, 13 were university presidents, 60 were authors, 3 were congressmen, and one served as vice president in the United States. With the exception of a grandson named Aaron Burr, who was hanged, the second family did not cost the state of New York a single penny. The difference in those two families was one family believed in Christian training, the other just raised kids up and fed them and tried to get them out of the house. You know, the God's got it real simple. It's real simple how to do this. It's to teach them the Word of God. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. God's got so much to say about parenting, about family, about making friends. Now, Proverbs 28:1 says this, "The wicked run away when nobody's chasing them, but the godly is bold as lions." You raise your kids up to trust in Jesus, trust in the Word of God. Not only do they have great relationships, they don't run from anything. They're bold. Proverbs 27, verse 10. Never abandon a friend, either yours or your father's. When disaster strikes, you won't have to ask your brother for assistance. It's better to go to a neighbor than to a brother who lives far away. He said, you need to be friendly to your neighbors. You need to be known in your community as somebody who does what's right, who helps when it's time to help, who does what needs to be done. You know, you'll be known for who you are. You might think people think one thing about you, but they know the truth. Proverbs 27:17, as iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. You know, I tell the story so many times. I grew up in the country, and so my uncle had a 400-acre farm. My grandfather lived there, and so we had a barn and a workshop and where we'd sharpen things. You know, blades on a plow, blades on the lawnmower, axes, you know, mattocks, things that had to be sharpened. And so we'd have that big wheel in there attached to that little motor, and we would sharpen things. Now, whenever you sharp, you know, the lawnmower blades, sparks would fly. And I remember asking my grandpa, what's the sparks? Well, that's the metal that keeps that blade dull, son. We're cutting away the dull metal. So when sparks are flying, stupid's being cut away. That's a real good way to put it. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and their brother's born for adversity. So God said it over and over again. Now, here's what you have to watch out for about friendships and relationships. We're talking about friendships where you give something to somebody. You're a sacrifice for somebody. You go the second mile for somebody. Somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go two, Jesus said. They ask you for your shirt, give them your coat also. Jesus talked about just pouring love on the people. Here's the danger. You have to watch out. There's a difference in friendship and in flattery. Now, the Bible has a ton of stuff to say about flattery. Flattery is not good. Proverbs 29 verse 5 says, to flatter friends is to lay a trap for their feet. Proverbs 20 verse 19, a gossip goes around telling secrets, so don't hang around chatterers. It's like I've said so many times, somebody says, can you keep a secret? No, I can't. I cannot. No human can tame the tongue. No human can keep a secret. No human. They tell our teenagers when in school, don't ever say, hey, can you keep a secret? Just tell them, no, I can't. Well, what are you some kind of mean or rude person? No, I just know me. I'll tell somebody eventually. I don't mean to hurt you, but don't tell me secrets. You know, tell me the truth. I'll tell you the truth, but no secrets. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. Here's what it says. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help, but someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not quickly broken. Even in rope making, you understand that. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 24 and 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. It's in the Bible. What are you supposed to do about making friends? I'm trying to motivate my friend to acts of love and to do good. I'm trying to motivate my friend. I'm not trying to trick him into doing something bad or stupid. I'm trying to provoke him to do something good. Remember when I was in high school years ago, we'd always dare one another, so many stupid things we would do. Lived way out in the country, but we're driving down a 2-lane road one time, and a buddy of mine comes up behind me, and he wants to race. Well, I don't want to race. I know better than that. Well, he tries to pass me. Well, it's a 2-lane road, and there's quite a bit of little traffic coming, so he won't pass me. So he gets off the edge of the road on the right-hand side where there's no highway. He pulls off into the dirt, and he tries to pass me on the right-hand side. And he comes beside, and he's laughing. He thinks it's funny. He's giggling and laughing. He thinks he can pass on the right-hand side. I'm starting to kind of push on the gas and say, don't do this. And then I look up in front of me, and I see there's a telephone pole coming. All of a sudden, I hit the brakes, and he goes by kind of laughing and looking at me, and he pulls back into the highway just before he hit that telephone pole head-on. Saved his life. I don't want to provoke you to stupidity. I want to provoke you to good works, doing something what's right. I want to motivate you to do what's good. I remember we were our senior in high school. We had a couple of guys in the grade ahead of us that left and joined the Navy. And they came back after some basic training. They're back for about a week. And so we go to the lake. It was summertime. We lived right next to a big old lake and the Tennessee Valley Authority. There's dams and there's big lakes everywhere. So we're going to the lake, and so we're hanging out there. And there's a big old rope up on a cliff, and you'd swing out and get in the water. So I remember there's three of us. We were buddies in high school, and these guys are, you're ahead of me, but we were buddies in high school. So we're out there, we're swimming, swinging off that rope. And one of my buddies, he was a great athlete, but his high school, he'd push the envelope. So he saw a boat pull up about halfway across the lake. Now, this lake is about 1.25 miles across where we're on this cliff. We're looking across that lake to the other side. It's 1.25 miles across that lake, right above the dam where the locks are, you know, where they generate electricity. And so all of a sudden, he says, hey, guys, look, that boat. And he thought there were two beautiful blonde-headed women in a boat halfway across the lake that had just stopped the boat in the middle of the water, and they're just there hanging out. He said, hey, let's go meet those girls. I said, man, that's halfway across that lake. I'm not going to go out there. So he grabs the rope, swings out, jumps in the water. He's going to swim out and meet them. Well, my other buddy, he's in the Navy now and just came back, home after some basic training. He said, man, he'll drown. He can't swim that far out. is I got to go get him. So he swings out, jumps one, and he's going out, following. We're all friends in high school. He's trying to follow him to try to keep him from drowning. I'm thinking, well, you know, I can't just sit here. So eventually I swung out. So all three of us in the water, swimming out to this boat with these two blonde-headed girls. When we get out there, it's not two blonde-headed girls. It's two hippies. Just two hippies in a boat, guys. And so I realized, man, that was dumb. Well, when I jumped in the water, some guys from a local rival high school had got up on the cliff, because this is a popular place to swim. About 15 guys from a rival high school had showed up, and they were on the cliff behind me. I thought, uh-oh, we could see them. We knew who they were. And so, man, we're outnumbered 15 to 3. I thought, that's not good. And so maybe we need to swim all the way across. And so the boat left. We're halfway across the lake. And so we're all kind of yelling at one another, hey, man, we got to swim all across. We can't go by. We can't whip all 15 of them. So we're swimming across this big lake. And so we get about halfway across. And, man, I'm starting to cramp up. I'm doing just the dog paddle thing. I'm not swimming normal. I'm just trying to stay afloat. And so I remember we're talking to one another, because when stupid happens, your words will just get out of control. We start talking to one another how deep this lake is and how when they built this dam and they filled it up, how many of the divers that were working on the dam would not go back down into that water because the catfish in this lake were so big. And so all of a sudden, we're swimming while we're stroking, trying to get to the other side. You stick our head over the water every now and then, trying to make sure there's not a big catfish and going to come up and bite us a leg and drag us down and kill us. And so we're trying to come across. All of a sudden, the Coast Guard, who patrol the lake, we see the Coast Guard boat come around the corner above the lake there. We thought, oh, man, it's the Coast Guard. If they see us, they're going to pull us out of the water, and they're going to tell our dads. And, man, our dads were going, man, this will not be good when we get home. We can't let them catch us. So these little buoys that they put in the water right above the locks so you don't take your boat too far and get caught up in the locks when they're open. So each of us found a buoy, and we sunk under the water and got down real low in the water. And so when the Coast Guard boat came by just touring the lake, make sure everything's good, we held our breath and dropped about 12 feet below the water and watched our salvation float right above us. And then we came back up. Because when you go stupid, you get real stupid. We finally made it to the other side of the lake, and we crawled out. Our legs are cramping up because it had been a long swim. We thought that was probably the dumbest thing we have ever done. And what happened? Well, we're hanging out with friends that weren't smart, doing things that were stupid. Well, see, the Bible says we have to learn to motivate one another to good works, not stupidity. And so when you got friends, is it a friend that will give their life for you, or a friend that will get you killed? And you got to watch out who you hang with. Proverbs 22:24-25 says, don't be a friend of angry people. Don't associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. Now, man, that's one tough scripture. What are you going to do? Endanger your soul. Proverbs 14:7, go from the presence of a foolish man when you're not receiving him the lips of knowledge. Get away from stupid people. Don't preach to them. Don't yell at them. Don't argue with them. Just get on down the hallway. I used to teach my kids, don't hang out in the locker room if somebody's talking stupid. Get to class. Don't just hang out there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. The dangers of the last days, it says. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people love only themselves and their money. They'll be boastful and they'll be proud. They'll scoff at God. They'll be disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others. They'll have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends and be reckless, puffed up with pride, love pleasure rather than love God. They will act religious. They will reject the power that can make them godly. Stay away from people like that. The Bible says that. What am I going to do with them? Stay away from them. Don't hang out with idiots. Don't hang out with dupes. Don't hang out with people that aren't doing what's right. Stay away from them. Hosea 4:6 says this. God said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Whose people? My people. Who? My people. Not the unbelievers, not the heathens. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He says, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Well, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want God to forget me or my children. Romans 10:17 says this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith, the Bible says in Hebrews, you cannot please God. Without faith, you cannot defeat the devil. So you need faith. Where do you get faith from? The word of God. Well, what does that mean? We need to hang out with people that are chasing God, people that are growing in faith, growing in the grace and knowledge of God. Not hang out with people who hate God, mock God, say bad words, cuss like a blue streak, hang out in the smoke hole. There's just certain things. Are you wanting to live long? Then do what's right. I want you to live a very long life. And I've told all my kids, if Jesus tarries, I want you to come to my funeral. I do not want to come to yours. God's promised long life, so let's chase it. I plan to be very, very old when I go to heaven. Matter of fact, I want to be here when the trumpet sounds. So, teach your kids wisdom. Teach them what the Bible says about friends, how to make friends, how to be a good friend, how to keep a good friend. It'll work, guys. It'll bless you immensely. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening today. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.